The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me, so I'm telling you, don't be fooled. The real Eric's in jail.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. Today, I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas. We couldn't get the real one. And I have as my guest the real Roger Stone. Roger, welcome to this program. Love to have you here.
Eric, great to be back with you.
Since we were together, you named me. I have to say this because this is the delight of my life on every level. Like, it's funny to me and delightful. But you named me on your 2022 best dressed list. And I feel like I want to be dining off of that for the rest of my life.
This is a tradition that I picked up from the late Mr. Blackwell. He was a Washington columnist, bon vivant, who published a yearly list of the best and worst dressed people on the planet. And he did it for 48 years. When he passed away in 2008, I thought this was a great tradition. So I picked up that ball. I have now published a list for 14 years. 15th year coming up. The only year I didn't publish it was a year that I was gagged by a federal judge during the Mueller witch hunt, in which I was unconstitutionally prohibited from saying anything on any program or on any platform in my own defense or about matters sartorial. So I did miss that year. But in all honesty, Eric, you deserved your position in the pantheon. I mean, you're extraordinarily well-turned-out individual, and it's absolutely clear to me that you give no thought whatsoever to dressing. You just kind of throw things together, and you look great.
Sprezzatura, because I don't have time for anything but sprezzatura. So yes, I kind of wing it today. Of course, I'm not wearing a tie. But the funny thing is, since you named me to this august list, I'm self-conscious. I'll walk into a restaurant and think, I'll hope nobody here today notices that I'm dressed this way or that way, because they may be aware that Roger Stone named me to this tremendous list. In any event, we have to move on to less cheerful things. Actually, not really, Roger, because the truth ultimately, by definition, is hopeful and ultimately joyful, even if it's difficult. I want to talk to you about a few things. Let me start here. I read recently your 2013 book, which is as relevant today as it was then, and that is absolutely true, folks. It is called The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. And let me be clear, this is the hardcover version. Roger was just telling me that the paperback contains more information than the hardcover version. But Roger, just as I was reading this book, and I hadn't planned to read it over this weekend, but you on Tucker Carlson last Friday were talking about things directly related to what you write about in this book. History is repeating itself. There are connections. It is really a little bit astonishing. So let's start with the central idea that we have been operating in our lifetimes with the illusion, most of us, that you know, everything's pretty much normal. There's not some secret government. The president of the United States, LBJ, wouldn't be capable of heading up a plot to murder John F. Kennedy, the president of the United States. I mean, it's so dark. And when you see the truth, it's difficult. But at the same time, I believe it's God's will that we see the truth. So you deal with that in this book, but you're also dealing with it right now and in the years since you wrote the book. So maybe we'll start with what you were talking to Tucker about the other day.
Thanks, Eric. Look, I think the larger theme here is kind of obvious, and that is that there is a so-called deep state. Dwight Eisenhower called them the military-industrial complex. It is a group of ruling elites. They're in both parties. They dominate both parties. They are in our government. They're in our intelligence agencies. They're in our military. But they're also in industry, in business, on Wall Street, in pharmaceuticals, among other huge industries. They have control governments. Presidents come and go. They have removed at least two of them. They attempted to remove a third one. I think, a very compelling case, and I'm not an attorney, but I think I make a very compelling case in my book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, that Lyndon Johnson had the motive, the means, and the opportunity to kill John F. Kennedy. And I use eyewitness evidence, fingerprint evidence, a huge amount of admittedly circumstantial evidence to make, I think, what is a very compelling case that Johnson was at the head of a cabal that removed President John F. Kennedy. Now, the Kennedy researcher community, which is very broad, has many factions, many voices. And there are those who say, oh, no, the CIA and the FBI, they killed John Kennedy. Well, they're not wrong. Still others will tell you organized crime is responsible for Kennedy's murder. They're also not wrong. Others say Big Texas Oil financed the murder of John F. Kennedy. They're also correct. Still others say the international bankers upset about Kennedy's insistence of on a silver-backed dollar were responsible for his death. They're also correct. In this book, I make the case that Lyndon Johnson is the common spoke between all of them and that the actual plot on the ground in Texas is orchestrated and carried out by Lyndon Johnson, also responsible for the immediate cover-up in the aftermath of Kennedy's murder. What's phenomenal, Eric, is that despite the best efforts of the Warren Commission, that was the commission appointed by President Lyndon Johnson to investigate Kennedy's murder and make a report to the nation, a commission that was heavy with people who hated John F. Kennedy, such as former CIA Director Alan Dulles, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, and others. And despite the fact that the major three networks and the leading news organizations in the country have continued to try to prop up the fiction that Lee Harvey Oswald, a lone nut, a disaffected communist, acting alone, firing three shots from behind President Kennedy, is solely responsible for his murder. The Gallup poll, which is taken every couple years, shows us that almost 73% of Americans do not believe that version.
Well, Roger, let's just touch on the idea, because I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. Why would someone like Gerald Ford, for example, sign off on the Warren Commission's report? Why? They all seem to believe, I mean, because there's various levels of darkness and corruption and evil. But to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, you'd say that they said, well, you know what? The nation can't handle this right now. Some of them just thought, we can't go there right now. This is good enough. But then you also have people like Johnson, President Johnson. You have people like Hoover, who knew that if we begin to delve into this, it will expose our own dark deeds. We will be in trouble. It's just better that it go away. And so you make the case in here, and we spoke to Mark Shaw recently about on his own book, but you make the case that it was LBJ at the center. The mafia was absolutely involved, the CIA absolutely involved, the FBI involved. Horrifying to think that this is possible. But at the center of this nightmare is Lyndon Baines Johnson, one of the most corrupt politicians in the history of this country. That's saying something. We'll be right back with Roger Stone. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Folks, I'm talking to Roger Stone, who has written a book called The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. And I was just saying, Roger, that you explain very clearly who LBJ was. In the beginning of the book, you make the case, again, it's open and shut. This was a profoundly corrupt, evil man. It's scary when you get around that kind of power, people who are willing to kill. And you make the case very clearly that he almost certainly was behind the murder of someone in 1948, nearly two decades before Kennedy was killed. So talk about LBJ the man, because he was at the center of power in America in mid-20th century America.
No, I think this is a very important point, and that is my book is as well as an outline of the murder of John Kennedy. And the evidence that points at Lyndon Johnson, including the fingerprints found in the crow's nest on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository that are traced back to a man on Johnson's payroll, a man named Mac Wallace, who is an expert Marine marksman and who is convicted of first-degree murder in 1951 because he murdered a man who was attempting to blackmail then U.S. Senator Lyndon Johnson. This is the only case in Texas history of a man being convicted of first-degree murder and receiving a suspended sentence, by the way. But Johnson is an epically corrupt and unbalanced individual. Don't take it from me. Take it from his own top aides who say that he's essentially a functioning lunatic. He's an alcoholic. He is a pill popper. He's a braggart. He's a liar. He is a sadist. I mean, the reason that he conducts White House staff meetings while sitting on the toilet defecating is not just because he's crude, but because he enjoys humiliating the young Ivy League educated White House aides that he had inherited from John Kennedy, all of whom he believes had abused him during the time that he was vice president. He is a shameless womanizer.
Putting it mildly. It's actually astonishing. Again, I said this when I interviewed Mark Shaw on the program about his book. When you read about this, it's very dark. A lot of it is difficult to read because when you're looking at evil, when you're looking at the darkness, there's something trying about it. When you look at a man like this who lived that way, the reason I say this, Roger, is because most people that I know, not only don't they live this way, but they don't know anyone who does. They avoid people that are so allied with, you know, the darkness. And Johnson was from his earliest days this kind of a man. And when you read it on the pages of your book, it's hard to process in some ways.
Well, Johnson's done a very good job of both protecting and burnishing his public image, both during his lifetime and afterwards. There's a reason that his top aide, Jack Valente, goes to Hollywood to head the motion picture industry. That's so there will never be a movie made that tells the truth about Lyndon Johnson. He was a lifelong segregationist. He killed every major piece of civil rights legislation in the U.S. Senate through the 50s. In 1958, when he was planning to run for president, he fashions the Southern Manifesto, the block of Southern senators killing or trying to water down civil rights legislation. He carefully doesn't sign the manifesto himself, even though he's a senator from Texas, but he does insert an amendment, a poison pill, that says that any person charged of violating the rights of a black man under the 1958 Civil Rights Act will be tried by a state, not federal jury. Well, no jury in Mississippi or Alabama will convict a white man of a crime against a black man. Johnson keeps his hands clean. But once he becomes vice president, he tells Kennedy that all those pledges Kennedy has made to African Americans in the 1960 campaign, a Voting Rights Act, an Open Housing Act, and so on, will have to be delayed to the second term because the Southern bulls in the Senate, who chair most of the committees, will kill all of your program, Jack, so you have to wait. In fact, Lyndon Johnson is waiting for his opportunity to refashion himself as the civil rights president, despite his lifelong opposition to civil rights. Interestingly enough, in the cache of declassified documents that were released under President Donald Trump, not the more recent ones released under Joe Biden, we learned that Lyndon Johnson was an active member of the Ku Klux Klan. That is among the documents that have now been declassified.
Believe I'd not heard that. That is astonishing.
But to understand the immediate motive of Johnson, all of those entities have a motive for wanting to remove Kennedy. But Lyndon Johnson's motive is the one that is most immediate. He is under investigation in two major scandals of the day. The Billy Sol Estes scandal. Billy Sol Estes was a flamboyant Texas wheeler dealer businessman. Johnson had acquired multi-million dollar federal agricultural leases for him, and he was kicking back millions of dollars to Johnson. And of course, the Bobby Baker scandal. Bobby Baker was the Secretary of the Senate. He was essentially Johnson's bag man. It was through Baker that all bribes were passed to Lyndon Johnson for the passage of appropriations and for federal defense contracts. Now, interestingly enough, Robert Caro has written a multi-volume Pulitzer Prize-winning series of biography books on Johnson. Look up Billy Sol Estes in the index of any of them. He's not even in the book. In terms of column inches, the Billy Sol Estes scandal got more column inches of news coverage in 1963 and 64 than the Bobby Baker story. Baker is addressed in Caro's book. Caro has dropped Billy Sol Estes out of the narrative entirely.
Now, how is this possible? Because Caro is, you know, much praised by the establishment, by the literary world. He's written this monumental, multi-volume, scholarly, decades-long biography. And he doesn't mention a number of things. You just mentioned a couple of significant ones. But he just avoids the ugly stuff. Why?
Because he wants to continue to be invited to the right cocktail parties on the Upper West Side of New York. I confronted Caro at a book signing with a more specific question. Lyndon Johnson's mistress, whose name was Madeline Brown, who bore him a son who bears an amazing resemblance to Lyndon Johnson, by the way, actually gave an interview to Geraldo de Rivera in which she said that she spent the night with LBJ in a Fort Worth hotel room the night before the assassination. And both the night before and the morning of Kennedy's murder, Lyndon Johnson told her point blank, "After tomorrow, I won't have to put up with those Irish sons of bitches anymore." Now, it's very interesting. When I was in a green room at Fox and I met the great Geraldo Rivera, I told him that one of the things that motivated me to write this book was a video I'd seen on YouTube of his interview with Madeline Brown, in which she said all of this. And he said, "Madeline Brown, I'm not familiar with that. I don't believe I've ever interviewed her." So, you know, to get a job in mainstream media, you have to go along with the mainstream narrative. And it is not approved to question the Warren Commission if you're appearing on Fox or if you're appearing on CNN or certainly any of the networks. My book, by the way, for those who want to check it out, it is very heavily documented and footnoted. So there's no speculation in my book. So, for example, I prove that at the request of J. Edgar Hoover, Warren Commission member Gerald Ford, then a congressman from Michigan, actually the minority leader from Michigan, actually changes the autopsy diagram and description, moving a wound from Kennedy's upper back to the rear of his neck to accommodate the idea that there were only three bullets, all shot from behind, and that the wound in Kennedy's throat was caused from the back, when in fact, Dr. Charles Crenshaw, the emergency room doctor who first saw JFK when he arrived at Parkland Hospital, records an entry wound in Kennedy's throat, meaning a shooter from the front and the back, ergo more than one shooter, and therefore a conspiracy. So Ford,
coming to a break here. Folks, you're not going anyplace. This is fascinating stuff, talking to Roger Stone. The book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, and each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com.
Look out, here comes tomorrow, that's when
Hey, folks, I'm talking to Roger Stone. Roger, you were in the middle of making the case about, I mean, and again, just to frame this, the more you know about what happened, when you read books about this, there are endless questions, and I don't think anybody would accept the Warren Commission report. It's just ridiculous. But you were making the case how Gerald Ford, and this is what I find fascinating, because we don't think of him as a particularly nefarious character, but he was willing to say it again, because this was the point you were making.
At the request of J. Edgar Hoover and other members of the Warren Commission, he alters the autopsy diagram marked up by John Kennedy's doctor, Admiral George Berkeley, changing the wound in the back of Kennedy's upper back, to the back of his neck, to the base of his neck, to accommodate the idea that there were only three bullets and they were all shot from the rear. Again, the emergency room doctor who first attended President Kennedy when he arrived at Parkland Hospital records an entry wound in Kennedy's throat, also a blowout wound in the left rear of his head. Both of these wounds essentially have been doctored by the time the body gets to Bethesda Medical Center, because a tracheotomy has been performed. There's no way to determine whether the wound in Kennedy's throat is an entry wound or an exit wound, although it's pretty clear from both the Zapruder film and from the physical evidence, including the photographs of Kennedy on the slab, the photographs of his shirt, where you can see where the bullet entered his upper neck, that Gerald Ford changed the diagram. Now, this became declassified in 1997. It was reported by the Associated Press and the New York Times, contacted in Rancho Mirage, where he was in retirement, and asked why he made this material change. Ford said, well, the country needed finality. Not the country needed truth.
Yeah.
The country needed finality.
Right. Right.
Johnson was a master, by the way, of convincing others, including Chief Justice Earl Warren, who reluctantly headed the Warren Commission, that the darker secret was that the Russians had killed Kennedy. No evidence of that. And that if the country knew that, it would spark a world war, which is why we have to go with this cover story of Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone, shooting only from the rear. In fact, I think the substantial forensic evidence would indicate John Kennedy was shot from the front and the rear. There's far more than three bullets. There may be as many as seven bullets. But everybody here has their own motive. Johnson is already heard on the grapevine that Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy are telling people that he will be dumped from the 1964 ticket. Evelyn Lincoln, who's John Kennedy's personal secretary, says in her memoirs that on the flight to Dallas, JFK told her that Johnson would no longer be on the ticket and he would be replaced by North Carolina Senator, later Senator Terry Sanford. So Johnson is a man staring into the abyss. He's not only looking at political oblivion, he is looking at federal prison, and Robert Kennedy has begun telling people like that. In the case of the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI, they are unhappy about Kennedy's handling of the Bay of Pigs fiasco. The Bay of Pigs was an invasion of Cuba in which the American government propped up Cuban dissidents to try to make it look like an indigenous Cuban uprising. The air support for the men storming the Cuban beaches at the Bay of Pigs, which was supposed to be 29 Panamanian flagged bombers flown by Cuban pilots out of Panama, was mysteriously canceled the day before the invasion. This was part of the invasion plan that Kennedy had approved. Then the generals and particularly Curtis LeMay, who led the Air Force, gave Kennedy the option of using American air power to save the invasion. Kennedy refused because it would have blown the plausible deniability he insisted on. And of course, the Bay of Pigs was an unmitigated disaster. They were also unhappy about his handling of the Cuban Missile Crisis. The mainstream media tells us that Jack Kennedy bravely backed Nikita Khrushchev down, and Khrushchev removed the missiles that he had placed 90 miles off our shore in Cuba. What the American people weren't told for 40 years, but which everyone in the military and the intelligence industry knew at the time, was that Kennedy made a secret deal to remove our missiles, our NATO missiles, from both Italy and Turkey, changing the balance of power in the European theater in return for a pledge from Castro that did not include on-site inspections by either Castro or Khrushchev to remove the missiles from Russia. So the intelligence agencies have their motive. Big Texas Oil is upset because Kennedy wants to repeal the oil depletion allowance, which is going to cost them hundreds of millions of dollars more. Organized crime is upset. How are we running on
time?
No.
I was just going to say we're going to go to break. But every one of these groups, including organized crime, had many, many reasons to despise Kennedy. The question is, would that lead them to be involved in murdering Kennedy? The answer is yes. And we will get into that when we come back with Roger Stone.
In the sunshine, where the days are longer, the nights are stronger than.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
One thing that has to be said, Roger, talking to Roger Stone, about his book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, which is to say Lyndon Baines Johnson. One thing that needs to be said is that part of the reason we've never clearly gotten to the bottom of this is because it is undeniably complicated. That's what's so fascinating to me, is that there's so many pieces. And unless you take the trouble, as you have done, to look into each of these and to pull it together, it's much easier to just wave it away and say, well, we'll never know. It's complicated. Or to say, well, it was probably just a lone nut. It's much more difficult to get to the bottom of it. And, of course, that's the genius, the evil genius of people like LBJ and J. Edgar Hoover. These were brilliant people addicted to power, who were willing to go the extra mile to do what they felt needed to be done.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, Johnson doesn't exactly hide his motives at the 1960 Democratic Convention. He essentially blackmails his way onto the ticket. John Kennedy had already selected Stuart Symington, the senator from Missouri, for vice president. That is recorded in Symington's memoirs, also in the memoirs of Clark Clifford, who had been the Secretary of Defense under Truman, was considered one of the wise men of the Kennedy administration. But when the Speaker of the House and Lyndon Johnson show up at Kennedy's hotel room in L.A., and they ask for a private audience in which Robert Kennedy is not present, Speaker Sam Rayburn and LBJ pull out a brown manila envelope, and in it they have a photograph of John Kennedy in bed with a very attractive East German spy whose name is Inga. And Johnson is very blunt. He says, look, you need me on the ticket. You need Texas, which I can carry. That means steal. And by the way, if you don't want to do this, this envelope will make its way to your opponent, Dick Nixon. Now, the photographs had been supplied by Lyndon Johnson's next-door neighbor, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. Hoover was facing mandatory retirement under federal law in 1964, so he also has an inherent interest in the disappearance of Kennedy. Also, Hoover insists that there is no such thing as organized crime. Now, John Kennedy's father, Ambassador Joseph P. Kennedy, has made a pact with the mob in which he basically shakes the mob down for $1 million with a promise that if John Kennedy is elected president, the efforts by the Eisenhower administration to deport Carlos Marcello, the gangster who runs the mob in Texas and Louisiana, who is, by the way, paying Lyndon Johnson in 1963 $5,000 a month to protect his illegal gambling operations, and Santo Traficante, who's running the mob in Florida. And the deal is that Kennedy will drop the deportation efforts against both of them in return for not only the money, but the mob's assistance in twisting arms in both Illinois and Texas in the general election. Of course, after the election, Ambassador Joseph Kennedy is struck by a stroke. He loses the capacity of speech. He's in no condition to enforce the deal he's made with the mobsters. And Attorney General Robert Kennedy goes after Marcello and Traficante and seeks to deport both of them. The mob reads this as a double cross. This is why they are involved in the plot. It also outlines their ties to Lyndon Johnson. The bag man, by the way, delivering payments to Johnson is a man named Jack Halfer. Halfer would be convicted on some minor crime unrelated to the bribes of Lyndon Johnson, but he would receive a full presidential pardon on November 23rd, 1963.
It's almost unbelievable. And again, it's hard to process in the same way that the evil that is being exposed today, now in 2023, about, you know, you name it. It's hard to process on some level, unless you're a political operative like Roger Stone, who's been in this world. Most of us, you know, think, no, not in America. It couldn't go that deep. The actors couldn't be that evil. And so what fascinates me, Roger, at least one of the things that fascinates me, is the parallels that if people see these things coming out now, then when you look at your book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, you realize, well, folks, this has been going on all along. And, you know, on the one hand, that means back to the Garden of Eden, because evil, real evil, has been here since the dawn of history. But in America, this kind of thing, these groups who amassed power and didn't really draw attention to themselves, they managed to say, everything's fine, don't look here, we're fine, it was just one guy, it was a lone nut, it was whatever it was. It seems that now we're living in a moment when, you know, mainstream figures like Tucker Carlson are talking about these kinds of things, that something good is happening. Talk just a little bit about that, because I think, you know, when you were on his program last Friday, there's something very healthy to me that figures like Tucker Carlson are talking openly about what is happening.
Well, the occasion there, which kind of furthers this narrative, is a long overlooked Watergate area audio tape of President Richard Nixon meeting with the head of the CIA, Richard Helms. Now, the timing is important. Nixon is increasingly mired in Watergate. He is desperately looking for leverage and a way out. And he meets with the CIA director and he says to him, look, I know who shot John. And this could become a very vigorously debated issue raised not by me, he says, but people are going to want to say who was responsible. Was Johnson responsible? Was Eisenhower responsible? Was Nixon responsible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, he says. So I just want you to know, Dick Helms, that the agency's secrets are safe with me. I've done my share of the lying to cover up for things that had to be done. There you have it. Basically, President Nixon is threatening the head of the CIA for his coverage, for his support in the Watergate scandal, and telling them, look, I know about the Central Intelligence's involvement in the murder of Kennedy.
We're gonna pick up right there. The book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy. My guest is Roger Stone. Folks, I'm talking to my friend Roger Stone, who has a book titled The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Roger, we're just really giving the outline. I want to have you back to go deeper because this is centrally important to everything we're going through today. When you talked about Nixon just a moment ago, Nixon knew, and you write about this in the book, Nixon knew that the official report, the Warren Commission's report, was nonsense. Nixon knew that, and he had a good idea that LBJ was, in fact, behind the assassination. That's an amazing thing. That's a very amazing thing to think about.
I think what's one of the things important here is that people understand that I don't just make these claims with no basis. You can actually hear the audio tape by going to my Substack, rogerstone.substack.com. You can hear the audio tape of Richard Nixon threatening the CIA director. You can see the New York Times and the Associated Press stories written in 1997, which faithfully record the fact that Congressman Gerald Ford altered the autopsy diagrams and description to cover up the fact that John Kennedy had been shot from the front and the back. So this isn't conjecture. This isn't some baseless conspiracy theory. I back up everything I say in my book. The book's a New York Times bestseller. I must tell you, it's interesting, Eric, because when I first wrote this book, six different publishers declined to publish it, saying that it had no commercial appeal. It has become kind of the standard work. There are several other great authors. Phil Nelson has written a great two-volume series on Lyndon Johnson's role in the assassination. A lawyer who actually worked for Johnson, Barr McClellan, went before him and wrote a terrific book. So I stand on the shoulders of many other researchers and authors who have provided their own evidence. And in all cases, of course, I credit them appropriately in my book. But the shocking truth here is the misdeeds of the CIA, the misdeeds of the FBI, they didn't start yesterday. They weren't just something that Elon Musk is just now uncovering. What I demonstrate is there has been a pattern of abuses by these agencies to suppress the truth regarding multiple issues by both agencies. They murdered John F. Kennedy. They removed Richard Nixon in a bloodless coup. Why? He reached a strategic arms limitation agreement with the Soviets. He ended the war in Vietnam. That was very profitable for some people. And he opened the door to China at the time that China was a backwards, poor, agrarian society. No way for Nixon to see that the Clintons would later sell our most important military secrets to the Chinese, and then the Bushes would give them most favored nation trading status, which makes them the dangerous superpower they are today. Nixon's big sin? He was for peace, Eric. That's why he had to go. Likewise, it is with President Donald Trump. He wanted to withdraw our men from the endless foreign wars in the Middle East. He wanted a more peaceful existence with the Russians. He wanted to, oh my God, talk to the North Koreans. Can you think of such a thing? Therefore, he was an existential threat to the permanent war machine of the neocons who dominate both of our major parties. Now you see us shipping $100 billion plus to Ukraine in violation of a treaty we signed in 1994 between President Ronald Reagan and Soviet leader Gorbachev, in which we agreed never to push the Ukrainians into NATO. In other words, never to mount offensive missiles on the ground pointed at Russia.
We've got to pick that up after the break. In fact, folks, we're going to do an Ask Metaxas in the next segment. After that, more with Roger Stone. Lots to unpack. The book is The Man Who Killed Kennedy by Roger Stone.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.